The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC.
Hand-to-hand combat and other wisdom from Wall Street's top women.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong. Senior women in finance have some advice for companies and employees on how to create equal opportunities and advance women into positions of power. Joining us with the details is the Wall Street Journal's Sarah Krauss. She's here with me in the studio. Also from Los Angeles via Skype, we have the Wall Street Journal's Emily Glazer. Ladies, senior finance executives gave you some of their best advice for navigating a career on Wall Street. The first is take some control.
Absolutely. So the point that we all know about finance is that it can be a 24/7 job when you're in the throes of a deal, or even the day-to-day sort of chaos of the markets can mean it's a sort of full-on experience. But the message from these senior women that we chatted with earlier this week was learn how to take control and learn how to block out time for yourself. So, of course, always be available to your clients and your employer in the ways that you need to, but find ways to create the time that you need to balance your personal life or your family responsibilities with that deal or other workflow.
One of the things that we really enjoyed hearing about, too, was Lisa Carnoy from U.S. Trust, a unit of Bank of America, was telling us how she literally blocks out time on calendars for members of her team so that they can keep appointments for, say, a music class or make time for the gym. And another panelist, Geraldine Buckingham, from our Wall Street Journal event, talked to managers directly about scheduling. So she typically travels on Fridays to meet her spouse, who's frequently traveling abroad for work. And so she literally told her boss, BlackRock chief Larry Fink, that she would be out of the office on Fridays and made it clear that, you know, she'd be there when the firm needed her. But that was something where if he didn't see her in the office, it wasn't like she was playing hooky.
And she said, you know, at first she was hesitant to do that and that, you know, she'd kind of fudge it around the edges. And then she realized, you know, this is silly. Like, let's just be direct about what I need. And if you have to come back, and she said she's had to come back from trips in the past, she will, and she's more than happy to do so. But better to do things, you know, sort of in the broad daylight rather than, you know, sort of cut corners or, you know, avoid having that conversation because it makes you uncomfortable.
So another tip, they say be clear on comp and pay equity matters.
Yes. So for companies, their point was pay is how you show your people that you value them. If women are not paid equally to men, you're sending a pretty poor message. But equally for employees, you need to ask for what you want. So if you make it your business to know what your seat is worth, how you're doing relative to your peers, and actually ask for the compensation that you feel that you deserve and be willing, again, to have that conversation.
One thing that Carla Harris told us, she's an executive at Morgan Stanley, is that if you have an unconventional role, you have to be really clear ahead of time to discuss the job and the value, since not everything is the high-earning deal seat, you know, an extreme revenue generator right off the start. So you have to empower yourself to have that conversation beforehand, even if it makes you uncomfortable, because you'll be far better off afterwards.
Another point on pay that I thought was pretty important that the panelists raised was that often for women, if they begin being underpaid in a certain role, then each time they change companies, they're sort of starting on the, you know, from mm-hmm. a less than ideal position, and that compounds over time. And one thing that BlackRock's Geraldine Buckingham suggested was there might need to be a reset for some positions and say this role pays X as opposed to we'll pay you 10% more than what you were making in your last job, because then you just that sort of inequality just continues over time and becomes even more pronounced over time.
Yeah, a problem that faces a number of fields right now.
Absolutely.
We're talking about senior women in finance and what we can learn from them with Sarah Krauss and Emily Glazer. And you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Looking for an easy way to advance your career or improve your business? Download an audiobook. At Penguin Random House Audio, we publish best-selling business books, often read by the author. Receive expert advice as you go about your daily routine. Listen to an audiobook as you commute, travel for business, or work out. Visit tryaudiobooks.com/WSJ for a free full download and listening suggestions.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Another tip you heard at this event applies really to any industry, I think, and that's invest in your relationships.
Sure. I mean, one of the points that was raised was that there's both a responsibility from the company's staff, so senior members taking an interest in younger people's positions and mentoring them or sort of answering their questions and taking an interest in promoting them throughout their career, but also on the part of the individual in terms of asking difficult questions and being matter of fact in terms of your wants and needs. So Lisa Carnoy from U.S. Trust mentors women on how to tell their bosses that they're going on maternity leave, because when she was younger, she was the first employee of her boss to have ever gone on maternity leave. So she coaches them in terms of how to be matter of fact and say, I'm committed to this company, but I'm taking the maternity leave that I need.
Did these executives give you any sense for whether it's a better time for women on Wall Street now than it's been?
You know, surprisingly, even though the numbers are the same as they've been for a while, with about 20% of women in leadership positions at banks or in higher level positions, what we heard is that the gap is closing, and they were actually really positive. In particular, Carla Harris from Morgan Stanley said she is thrilled about the what she called a millennial effect, where more and more millennials are understanding how to be really in tune with their careers, both men and women, and really transparent and want that transparency and feedback in what kind of job they have, what their work will lead to, what kind of skill sets they'll develop, what kind of projects they'll be on. And even if that leads to, say, more men taking paternity leave or more general transparency around men and women, she thinks that this rising generation who will be the next managers will make it a lot better for women in finance.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Emily Glazer in Los Angeles and Sarah Krause here with me in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Jennifer Strong.
For more insights, enable the Wall Street Journal skill on any device with Amazon Alexa. Get all of our podcasts, as well as the latest news and market updates. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.